The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
A new report by Queen's University has revealed that two-thirds of Northern Ireland's adult population experienced a childhood traumatic event as a function of the Troubles, and that that has, unsurprisingly, a lasting effect on both the individuals and the society that they make up. With me is Dr. Kieran Mulholland, who's Clinical Director of the Regional Trauma Network. Kieran, can you give us a bit of a top-line view of what the report has revealed?
Good morning, Anton, and thank you for having me on, and thank you for drawing attention to this report, which is an important report. The research was carried out by colleagues at Queen's University, but also Ulster University, and at the Impact Research Centre, which is an NHS research centre, and we used Perceptive Insight as our survey organisation, who are very valued colleagues. The idea was to have a comprehensive sample of the Northern Ireland population. So that meant we went out and we spoke to 1,200 individuals who are now adults, and we asked them to look back over their early life, their childhood years and their teenage years, to tell us about any difficulties that they faced. Some of those difficulties are the difficulties people face in any society, for example, breakdown of the relationship between parents or parental mental health. But some of the difficulties are very unique and specific to Northern Ireland, and that's the Troubles-related difficulties. And as you say, we find very high rates of Troubles-related difficulties in childhood, especially for the age group in which I fall. It's the 45 to 65-year-olds. It's somewhat lower in the younger age group, but still there. And unfortunately, still there in the younger adults, those in their 20s and 30s, who grew up after the Good Friday Agreement, but are still impacted by both the intergenerational impact of the Troubles, but also ongoing paramilitarism.
Now, can you just explain that cohort a little? Because I think the obvious one is the one where you said people who live through weekly, daily, in some instances, atrocities, that is going to have an effect. But you would have thought that the Good Friday Agreement and the ceasefire would act as a rubicon. That's not the case.
Well, it's not, unfortunately. Now, of course, the violence has diminished greatly. But in the more deprived working class areas, especially in the towns and the cities, the paramilitary organisations continue. They're still there. They harass young people, intimidate young people, or they draw young people into their ranks. And we can see that today. We can see that that's still happening, even in the younger adult age group. And we know it's happening still for children and adolescents. And the unfortunate thing is that we know all of this has a long-term negative consequence on life chances. People who are traumatised in childhood, who suffer adverse childhood experiences, will have worse mental health as adults, worse physical health as adults, and also their life chances in terms of education and employment are also impacted. So it's very important work in that sense, and there are a lot of policy implications that I imagine you probably want to draw out in the course of your interviews.
Well, that's where we'll head to now, because in a second I'm going to talk to Aoife Moore, journalist and author of The Long Game Inside Sinn Féin, but we're joined by Naomi Long, Alliance Party leader and Minister for Justice in Northern Ireland. And Naomi, before we get to policy, can we start personal? Does any of this resonate with your own life and experience?
I think it does. I mean, one of the things that comes out of the study, because I know it can seem quite bleak when you see the scale of this, but one of the things that comes out of the study is that if you have positive childhood experiences that balance out those adverse childhood experiences, you can go on and live a positive life and thrive. And you know, I was just looking at the report. I mean, I lost my father when I was 11 years old. I was exposed to some of the violence that you would have seen in the Troubles and so on. But around that, I had a lot of family support. I had a lot of encouragement. I had very positive experiences. And so it doesn't necessarily mean because someone has had a negative experience, it will automatically end in worse life chances. But it does give us an opportunity to understand what those interventions would look like to ensure that young people who are exposed to adverse childhood experiences can go on and thrive and flourish. And I think it's really important we do that. I suppose the group that worry me most at the moment are those young people today who are growing up in communities still under the control of paramilitary gangs, being groomed into violence and criminality and being exploited, and the impact that that has on their mental health, their physical health, their attainment at school, and their ability to live productive lives. And that's something that, as a department, we're really focused on through the programme in terms of interventions that will actually support young people, build resilience in those communities, and actually help young people to withdraw from those activities that are placing them at high risk.
Is it not so intrinsically interwoven with the partisanship of Northern Ireland that without solving the the underlying issue, there's not a lot of point in those interventions.
Well, no, the interventions we know from the evidence are really successful. The part that is difficult for us is the degree to which paramilitaries have embedded themselves in communities and sought to legitimise their activities. And one of the things the programme does, first of all, is tackle the vulnerabilities that they prey on so that communities and individuals are more resilient, and then to tackle this false legitimacy that they present in communities, to actually expose the underbelly of what these organisations are about and what they do, the damage and harm that they cause. And both of those things are really important, because if we are there to respond, to remove those individuals from society as part of the criminal justice system, we need the cooperation of the local community to be able to do that. So there is a strategy there that I believe can work. But, you know, we've known for a long time mental health in Northern Ireland is much poorer than in other regions. We know there are higher levels of substance abuse and misuse. We know that physical health is poorer in Northern Ireland. But what this study has done for the first time is lift the bonnet on that and look at why, and actually show the connections between what people experience as young people in our society growing up and how their outcomes are directly okay. impacted. And I think that's really important, because from policy now we know early intervention has to be key to all of this.
Naomi Long, thank you very much. That's Naomi Long, Alliance Party leader and Minister for Justice in Northern Ireland. Thank you also to Dr. Kieran Mulholland, who is clinical director of the Regional Trauma Network. Aoife Moore, journalist and author of The Long Game Inside Sinn Féin, is with me. It is evident, Aoife, in watching your reaction, that you would disagree fairly vehemently with some of what Naomi Long had to say. Before I get to that disagreement, does what Kieran described fit with your own experience? You are of the post-ceasefire generation.
Ceasefire baby.
Correct.
Yeah.
Do you still, among yourself and with your peer group, do you still see the kind of legacy of trauma that he describes, despite being a ceasefire baby?
Someone I went to school discos with is now in prison for terrorist-related activity. I'm 33. I personally know someone who's been kneecapped. I'm 33 years old. I am not from, you know, a Republican heartland. My daddy works in a bar. My mommy works in a supermarket. I have a very normal life for a dairy person. And the troubles has infiltrated every part of my life. My uncle was murdered on Bloody Sunday. So that ripple effect of trauma. Obviously, after Bloody Sunday, he had three sons. And some of them went out and joined the IRA because the British Army murdered their father. Because they were teenage boys, and that's what teenage boys do. And 30 odd years later, and I have grown up now, but I know boys that I was at school with who went out and joined the dissident Republicans. And the reason, as much as I really admire Naomi Long, I think she's one of the most impressive politicians that Northern Ireland has ever produced, but she is completely missing the point. This is not a Protestant Catholic thing. Trauma is part of it, but the big issue here is poverty. You are not out rioting if you have to go to work in the morning. You are not susceptible to paramilitary activity if you have a job to go to in the morning. These children, and a lot of these young people are children who are being groomed by paramilitary gangs. It's because they have no other options. And it's because of the troubles that this has happened. We are a very specific case, but it happens all over the UK, and it happens in Ireland. It happens in Finglas.
Is there chicken and egg in that it is difficult to get a vibrant functioning economy if what you have is ongoing internecine conflict, because that makes
what,
that...
But what internet... Like, you keep... Well, like, you asked Naomi Long, you said about, you know, because of, like, the division in Northern Ireland. But the trouble in Northern Ireland now is not about division. You know, it's not a sectarian conflict.
You did describe having peers who had joined the dissident IRA. That would suggest that there is some degree of internecine
criminality. It's criminality masquerading as politics. But if we did not have, this happens in Finglas and it happens in Ballymun, the difference is with the North is like there are going to be gangs that groom children into criminality. But the through line here is poverty. Poverty in itself is traumatic. The reason there is so much poverty in Northern Ireland is because of the troubles, is because of the legacy that the Brits have left. So I absolutely agree with Naomi Long in the way that we're all talking about, like, oh, if we can just get both sides to come together. But that doesn't matter. We could all get up tomorrow and decide there was, like, religious peace in Northern Ireland. But if everyone's still living in poverty, there are still going to be gangs and criminality. So the point that we're missing when it comes to grooming of children into paramilitarism is poverty. And the reason that Northern Ireland is in the state it's in is because of the Troubles.
The legacy, though, of that paramilitarism, mm-hmm. how do you feel it in yourself, or do you? Because what this is saying is that adults who are exposed to the kind of things that you describe, knowing somebody who has been kneecapped, knowing somebody mm-hmm. who has been murdered on Bloody Sunday, that leaves a lingering, lifelong effect. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? Is that something you perceive
100%. It's actually recently I was, Derry City were in the cup final in the Aviva. Great day. Stalling over it. We lost. But we were all, there was a big group of us in a pub and I had brought my friend with me who was from Dublin. And we were having a conversation with my mammy and a few other Derry people. And I was trying to describe this person to my mammy. And I said, you do know who he is. His dad blew himself up. And my mom was like, oh, I know who you're talking about now. And my Dublin friend said, you know, this isn't normal, don't you? Like, this isn't a normal way that people talk to each other. But for us, it is. I wasn't even the only child in my class who was a relative of a Bloody Sunday victim. So there was a study done years ago in Northern Ireland. It was 1 in every 10 people knew someone who'd been killed or maimed in the Troubles. 1 in every 10. So that's 10% of the population. Now, I think that's obviously a lot less. But the legacy and the trauma that that leaves, because the other big thing I was thinking about this on the way over here was the Good Friday Agreement is held up as, like, you know, the best thing we've ever done on this island. There's no mention of mental health support in the Good Friday Agreement. There was no words for things like PTSD after Bloody Sunday or Ballymurphy or Springhill or Pat Finucane's children. No one said the words PTSD. So what we are dealing with now is a legacy of trauma.
Well, can I ask on that then? Obviously, the issue to do with the economics and poverty is, mm-hmm. is one thing. The other then is that thing of what do you do with the community and the individuals involved?
Mm-hmm.
If you get into Truth and Reconciliation a la South mm-hmm. Africa or anything like that, there will be some argument that says, well, what you are doing is unearthing the demons again and that you are focusing on the bad in the past and you are bringing it more into a new generation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case? Do you just need to move on? Or is there something that can be actively done to provide a salve to this kind of issue?
Could you look Pat Finucane's widow in the eye and tell her to move on? There is, I think, it's a quote, I actually think it's from Martin Luther King, but it's, the definition of peace is not the absence of violence, it's the presence of justice. And there has not been justice in Northern Ireland for victims of Republican violence, loyalist violence and state violence. And I think the notion, like, the notion that people who claim you as their own citizens can come into your house, kick down the door, raid your house and shoot your husband and no one ever faces any consequences for it. That's not justice. And we need to be able to look this history in the eye and say this was wrong. And you see things like Boris Johnson's legacy bill and, you know, Say Nothing is now on Disney Plus. Like, I feel like I'm living in modern history in the way that this was something for me that we all lived through, and I'm very still young, but that we all lived through, and now it's become historical drama and all these different things. But like, it sits very uncomfortably with me that things can be made into dramas now and we haven't even actually acknowledged.
But do you hold out any in the real world any hope that any of those things that you're pointing to as the insoluble issues can be solved?
Yeah, but they won't be solved by Stormont or London or definitely not Dublin. They will be solved by the people themselves of Northern Ireland, because that's the only way. Community is the only way that we will get ourselves through. It's the only thing that got working class communities through the Troubles, and it's the only thing that will help us now. But the issue is, and not to go back to Naomi Long, a woman I really admire, but there is no point talking about Truth and Reconciliation if we don't talk about poverty. And Northern Ireland is coming down with poverty and drug addiction and debt and long-term unemployment. And until we reckon with poverty and lifting people out of that, there is always going to be trauma, because you can't get better if you also live in a cycle of trauma.
Aoife, thank you very much. That is Aoife Moore, journalist and author of The Long Game, Inside Sinn Féin. Before her, Naomi Long, Alliance Party leader and Minister for Justice in Northern Ireland. And before her, Dr. Kieran Mulholland, who's Clinical Director of the Regional Trauma Network.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.